Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. Stone, how you doing today?
I am doing well, fresh back from my Disney trip. You know, we went faux camping, and then we enjoyed a little bit of traffic with several thousand of our closest friends on the way back from
Orlando.
There was
other people who went south for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, apparently a few other people had approximately the same itinerary, but I got to tell you, a shout out to Disney. Those folks do just such a fabulous job. Everything about that experience was it was just first cabin, man. It was wonderful.
Excellent. So you had a good Thanksgiving then.
I did. We have a great deal to be thankful for around here, not the least of which is our friends over at Thai Atlanta. And this is going to be a fun segment. We have with us outgoing President Raj Rajan and incoming President Karen Robinson. Welcome to the show, gang.
Pleasure to be here.
Thanks for having us, Lee and Stone. You guys are awesome.
So, Raj, you're not getting kicked out, right? This is part of the protocol. This is a plan.
There wasn't a coup.
You know,
I think that would make great headlines.
Exactly. But unfortunately, you know, Ty and, you know, we tend to be a little boring about these aspects.
It's very structured, right? You had this plan in place.
Yeah.
It was a planned coup.
It was a planned coup. So, part of our governance structure, Karen has been president-elect for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, we have her successor already identified and elected who will take over after she's done. So there's a new president and a new president-elect starting January. So
wow. So
we plan our coups 2 years in advance.
They're very organized over there at Thai.
So as you look back over your tenure, what are some things that really stand out for you? What did you really enjoy and do you think you'll always remember from your tenure?
Well, I think, I have a different perspective than most as being one of the founders of Thai Atlanta and what we started and what I would take away from my tenure. And actually, it was, we embarked on refocusing on and razor, having a razor sharp focus on that mission of Thai, which is to mentor the next wave of entrepreneurs, right? Mm-hmm. And I think in the last 2 years during my tenure, I think that focus also, and we always had that focus. I think we extended that a little bit further, and we really honed down collectively as a group, with Karen's help and all the other board members and charter members, to hone down on actually putting hardcore metrics around saying how many people have we mentored, in what pillars, what stage, how did we move them further along in their entrepreneurial journey. And we actually, I think that's our, we always have been doing great work, but I think in the last 2 years, we have actually have numbers and a little bit more disciplined approach of achieving the same goal.
Now, how did you, when you had that meeting and you were deciding what were the metrics, how did you decide what were the choice of metrics to keep track of?
So it's very difficult to come
right.
up with. There's so many metrics, right? You know, one is job creation. The other is like, how many companies do you mentor? I mean, you can throw a lot of numbers. Like,
and then you put a bunch of entrepreneurs in
exactly.
the room.
And it was probably, exactly.
You probably collectively got to an answer in 5-10 minutes, usually, right?
I wish it was that easy. I think we came up with probably, it probably took us a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was, well thought out discussion on what is important. And as entrepreneurs, we did come up with the right solution is to simplify. Right. So we have what is called a core metric. A core metric is simply the number of companies that we mentor every year and the number of people. Right. Simple. Everyone gets it. You know, sound bites, as you folks in the radio business call it. Right. A simple core metric. I mean, we'll have secondary metrics which we capture. But our goal is if you mentor enough people and you help them move further along in their journey, whether it's education, helping them connect or do other things, then over time, you apply what I call the venture capital model of 20% of those folks you mentor will be tremendously successful. Then all your other metrics fall into place, mm-hmm. right? The other 80, they'll learn. And our goal is we tell people entrepreneurship is not a one-shot deal. It's a journey. And you know, sometimes, you know, you hit a dead end, you just have to start over and go in a different direction.
But are you defining success as only those home runs, or are you counting the singles and doubles and triples that occurred, you know, just because a person didn't have the big scalable company, they still could generate jobs and create value, right?
Absolutely. So the way we look at it, we count failures as success as well. That's why mentoring people and quality mentoring and guiding them through a structured program is what we deem as success, right? Because even if a person failed on that journey, on that particular journey, doesn't mean that they didn't pick up skills. They didn't pick up new ways to go do their next venture, right? And that's really why we came up with that metric of staying focused on saying, how many do we mentor in a quality structured, our five-pillar program to get there? And everything else falls in place, right? The 20% will probably count for, you know, they could create $100 million in value in wealth, or they can create $1 billion in wealth. But the fact is, you have created, 100 to 150 people every year that are improving their skills at being better entrepreneurs, which in turn will create a virtuous cycle of people coming back with better ideas and better ways to play the game.
Right, so and they'll be ready for the next version 2.0.
Exactly. Right? 2.0, 3.0, some cases 5.0, whatever it takes.
Now, you don't plan to spend the next 2 years in exile, right? When you hand the reins to Karen, you'll be doing something still with this organization.
No, I actually would not let him do that. I told him part of the deal was I needed him around. So we're thrilled to have him with his, not only his experience, but also so much, not only knowledge about Atlanta Thai, but international Thai, which is just one of the greatest assets of Thai, which is this worldwide network of, you know, in so many countries, so many chapters around the world that we're so connected. And Raj has such a great insight into that.
And so when does this happen? Is there some big ceremony where you get the crown is passed over and then you jump on the Thai jet for 2 weeks like and go to Cabo and then you come back? Walk us through it.
We're on calendar year basis. So essentially, December 31st, midnight, I turn into a pumpkin. And January 1st, Queen Karen takes over. Right? So.
And I kiss my Prince Charming somewhere in there. My husband, Rick. That's right.
So what we do is we have our annual program, which is called Thai Visions. Mm-hmm. And that's on this Wednesday, December 4th at 5:30 p.m., 103 West Paces Ferry. So if you're around, join in. Sorry, I had to give that plug. But what we do every year, we are very structured in our approach on how we run Thai. So we actually do our strategic plan and our annual planning for 2014 was completed in September, October, and in November. Mm-hmm. Right. So we actually take 2 to 3 months to make sure that we are focused and get more involvement and get that planning done. And then on visions, what we do is we announce, we celebrate. Visions is actually a holiday party. Appreciate all the volunteers. Great opportunity to network. And we also recap what we have accomplished this year and then lay out the plan for next year. Right. Mm-hmm. So everyone in the community who's involved in Thai is very clear on what, you know, where we stand and how we are going to proceed. And they can also figure out how to get involved in that. So the official party or ceremony is actually on December 4th.
So that's when the scepter is passed.
The receptor is passed with the dated timeline on midnight on January and December 31st. She gets it.
So now, when you're looking back at 2013, are there some highlights that stand out for you?
2013, a lot of things. I mean, I think we have accomplished. I don't have the exact numbers which we're pulling together. Later on tonight, probably I'll have it. But I think we have increased our mentoring by 20 to 30% from last year's numbers, which was a record number. So this is another record number this year. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of our pillars did extremely well. The highlights are really the. You know, it's kind of like, you know, when you do something new, we've done a lot of new things this year, right? We did a fundraiser for our TY high school students, which are stellar. I mean, that program, you know, we raised money for it. That was our first year using a golf tournament. Great participation. We had 100 people show up at 7:30 a.m. on a Monday morning, work day,
to
play golf. I mean, I was like, you know, wow. You know, we never thought Monday morning was like the party time. But, you know. And
now you know.
And we were good citizens. We made sure alcohol was not available till 12. But, you know. So that was a new event that we tried this year. But all our pillars are done phenomenally well. And this, again, you know, the show's, Thai has been here for 15 years. This is our, we complete 15 years this December, right? And in 15 years, I mean, the fact that it's like, you know, companies get boring, hubris and all that. You know, the excitement in Thai, you know, it's the, you know, it may be bread and butter, but if you go into the details, the excitement of the ideas that people are working on and the great concepts that are coming up and the enthusiasm to learn is fascinating.
Right. The way that the ability of to keep that level of engagement up so high is really something to be proud of.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what gives us the kicks. I mean, we go back and say, what else can we do, right? You know, in some ways, I hate us to come. You know, we wish we were like Apple, right? Apple comes up with a great product, and people still ding it. It's like, you know, I just have to use the analogy. Nowhere by means of Apple, but it's kind of the same sentiment that we face.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think is great about Thai, and I'm a relative newcomer. I've only been involved for the last 3 or 4 years. And one of the things that's great is the only organization that I've seen where you truly have the life cycle of the entrepreneur. So many organizations are focused on this entrepreneur or maybe software or later stage. And Thai is unique in the ability that we take the high school students, we mentor them, we have a business plan competition. We now have just incorporated college, so we now have a college business plan competition. We then have the early stage entrepreneurs, and typically these are not, as you might expect, the 20-something who are just coming up with the latest app. These are folks that maybe are in mid-career, maybe they're taking a, you know, that transition to the next stage, and they're saying, boy, I've always heard about entrepreneurship. I want to be one of these folks. So we've got the early stage entrepreneur. Then we go to the later stage entrepreneur, which is profitable, privately held companies with coachable CEOs. And that's a program we just launched about 2 years ago with great success, where we actually bring in a seasoned set of volunteer board members who literally help drive them and guide them to the next level. Then we have a kind of EDE, which is how do you do corporate, how do corporations take advantage of entrepreneurial ideas? And so we act as like the matchmaker. So it's kind of that corporation to early stage entrepreneur. And lastly, we have social entrepreneurship. So when you think about the life cycle of the entrepreneur, Thai uniquely has a program and a mentoring for every single stage. So literally, one of the ways we can keep that excitement is you can literally grow up, if you will.
Right, within the Thai ecosystem. And then it's not also, it's also not just technology-based. The entrepreneur can come from anywhere, which is also unique.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the beauty about Thai is like, you know, technology is all relative, right? I mean, you know, if I told you Coca-Cola was a technology company, would you believe it? And I'll tell you, I mean, how many of you know the secret formula for Coke? It's a different kind of technology, right? It's very important for us to, from a tie that we have embraced and we taken as we look at entrepreneurship in any sector that anyone who wants to build a scalable business, they can come to us. Whether you're running a not-for-profit, that's an entrepreneurial approach. That's our social business pillar, right? And one of the cool things that we come out of our social business pillar is that some of our board members and our CMs are involved in bringing the Nobel Peace Laureate Summit for 2015 to Atlanta. All right, that was purely driven by our charter member Dr. Mohammad Bouyan, and he brought in Nobel Laureate Professor Mohammad Yunus, President Carter. And together, and we successfully won the and pulled the bid in, and it's a great event that came out of our social business pillar, right? And concept. I mean, this is just some of the phenomenal things that come up. It's always surprising that someone is doing something new. The other thing that we have, we mentioned a little bit about, we have high school students, we have college students. And last year, this year, one of our big highlights was the great our annual event, our TaiCon Southeast, right. Uh-huh. Is awesome. So next year, it's getting up. We are adding the college edition, the Young Entrepreneurs, the college edition, bringing all the colleges in Georgia are submitting business plans, and we're reading to them, and the finalists will be presenting at TyCon as well.
Oh, wow. So every college in Georgia is eligible?
Yeah, absolutely. They are. And they have programs. If their schools want to do it, they can get teams in. And we also have prize money. That's for the college students. So it's not just they're going to win some money. And they'll get exposed to introduction to investors and angel investors and other folks that we'll have in our community there.
And just an example of this, when again, so we're so Atlanta-centric, and I was so excited because the college program and a gentleman by the name of Dr. Paul Lopez has been our charter member that's spearheading that. And actually, one of our first entries were from Tifton, Georgia, which there's not a lot of entrepreneurial activity in Tifton, Georgia, would be my guess. And yet, they were one of the very first team that is already working on the team. If they've already got their college advisor. And I just think that's the type of thing that Ty uniquely can do,
right,
is bring in this entire, like I said, this entire community.
And you can see how people are so hungry for this, that if a team in Tifton is the first one to inquire, that shows you that they're just looking for this stuff.
Right.
They're just, you know, it's not easy to find, and you guys are very generous with your time and all the people that are involved in TIE. I mean, a lot of this, why don't you speak about that? That it's a volunteer organization, right, and the fees are minimal for the participants.
Correct. For being a member, it's fully subsidized by the charter members and our sponsors. Right. I mean, charter members, the theme was, you know, the fee structure has always been 1/12 of what a charter member pays.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's we're subsidizing. So if you attend one meeting,
right,
we cover your costs. The second meeting, you're paying for one meeting. Every other meeting and every other program is subsidized by charter members and sponsors.
And I think that's a great point. This is the only organization that I've ever been aware of where you have to pay to volunteer, which I just think is a great concept. We literally get 100 very successful executives, entrepreneurs who are all about giving back, and they actually say, I'm going to pay money to be able to mentor entrepreneurs. Again, in Tifton, Georgia, which I think is just a terrific I think it says so much about the character and the fact that it's been around for 15 years. I'm just truly honored to be a part of it. And as I said, for things like that. Still, when I tell my friends, you have to pay money to volunteer, it is a little alien, but I think it's starting to catch on.
And then you pay money to subsidize other people. Plus, this volunteering thing
is work.
Right.
It's real work. Yeah. They keep track of your hours.
And it's not just like, you put my name on a list and I'm there. Like, they have to really participate. I mean, it's a commitment of time and energy to mentor the entrepreneurs, right?
You hit it right on, Lee. I mean, we joke that the money is only for the first part. It's more, time is more valuable, and we want more of that as well.
But as a result, the character of the people inside TIE is just phenomenal. And there's something, you spoke to this earlier, there is something for everyone, no matter what stage of development you're in as an entrepreneur.
But she had a key word. They have to be coachable, right?
Coachable.
It's coachable. Not just for anybody. You got to be open to getting mentored.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, having humility of knowing what you don't know is important. And I think that's, you get that from the people. You look at role models, right? When we talk about our charter members, I look at them as some of the most genuine, successful, altruistic people. They can do a lot of things. They can be on a country club playing golf, or going out on a hanging out in the Caribbean. But they take the time to share their knowledge and their learnings. And all our programs and our pillars are led by our charter members. I mean, so you're not learning from with all due respect to, we have several professors and other folks, not just theoretical knowledge. I mean, this is practical knowledge and experience. And what really works, and you bend that in, that's phenomenal. And some of the things, some of these people you'll never be able to connect anywhere else, right? I was in Silicon Valley about 2 weeks ago. Silicon Valley is we call it the mothership because it's the first chapter, and TIE started in Silicon Valley. They have about 350 charter members, and an astounding stat was 100 of them had sold companies for over 100 million, at a minimum of 100 million or more, right? So you're looking at about a $20 million worth of exits that have happened out of Silicon Valley. And these are successful people who can go do anything else, but they're out giving back and mentoring, right? And so we have one of the things that we talked about global collaboration is Silicon Valley, we have launched an incubator where and the small fund has been put together. where we, you know, companies that are selected, we from all over the ecosystem, they can go there. They're submitted, and if they're selected, they get $50,000 plus mentoring from people in Silicon Valley, and 3 months they have office space. Right. So we essentially take not only our entrepreneurs that we're mentoring here, they do get selected. You know, they can go to the Valley and get more experience, additional experience, and everyone talks about the Valley. Fine, go get the experience and you can build it. If you can build a business, they're great. If you don't want to come back here, again, we got the contacts to take them to the next level. And that's a great value.
Mm-hmm. Now, so, go ahead.
Karen, you talked earlier about the national and the international network. So as a very practical example, as TIE members at Business Radio X, as we start to expand, we can probably get introduced to TIE members in virtually any metro area to kind of help us get a feel for that city. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. We have 61 chapters, 17 countries. So, you know, glad to share the list with you and make the introductions.
Well, I mean, to me, that is worth being involved with TIE right there. If you're a growing business and you want to just, because it's helpful when you get to a new market, just to know a few of the players and get introduced around instead of just going in completely cold.
I agree 100%, and I think that's one of the things over the next few years we'll be expanding that program so it's easier to be connected, and vice versa. When someone is trying to break into Atlanta market or the Georgia market, what a great opportunity to introduce them to you all or to other TIE members, charter members, et cetera, and it gives them, again, you have immediate commonality, which I think is a great It's a really terrific way to do business, and I do think it helps speed up that process.
That's right, because the TIE values they're the same throughout all of the TIE chapters?
Yeah, chapters. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's actually part of our we call it the TIE brand, the TIE mission, and that's set up so that all the chapters are following the same philosophical principles. Right. Their programming might be different and very likely different because of the regions that they're serving.
And they don't have Karen.
Exactly. They don't have Karen, right? We got 17 chapters in India. Finding Karen there is
a little bit harder
there. Right?
For those of you who don't know that I'm not a male Indian, just let's get that on the table right now.
So you're easy to find when they have the group meetings.
The good news is less likely. More and more folks like me are getting involved because I think they're seeing the value. And I really have to put my hat off to Raj and Madhu and some of the other founders because they recognized early on that TIE is so much more than just Indians. And it's a great opportunity to, again, for entrepreneurs of all shapes, sizes, colors, whatever. And I think that not only am I not male and Indian, but my successor is a female and a wonderful entrepreneur. And again, I think that just shows that it's a terrific place. It's the only place to be if you really want to give back to entrepreneurs.
So now, speaking about the upcoming plans, 2014, do you have any vision of what your reign's going to hold? Do you have any kind of goals you're looking at?
I was trying to figure out the size of the tiara. I've looked at those little kids.
That was important.
Toddlers and tiaras. I want that big tiara. Just kidding. I think that a couple things. I think, number one, I really want to get more of the charter members more intimately involved in leading some of these pillars. When we talk about the pillars, and those are, the life cycle of the entrepreneur,
right?
We have specific programs for each and every stage, and we've got some wonderful leadership. I'd like to continue to bring more of the charter members into that.
Are you looking for more charter members or get the charter members that already exist involved?
I think both because, again, traditionally, and I don't know the statistics, Raj, you may know, there's still probably about 70% are still primarily Indian. And so we're looking to continue to build that, to continue to have more of a diverse community. But it's really more about quality than quantity. Again, this group, as Raj said, this group of entrepreneurs are some of the most successful business people that I've ever met. And until I became involved in TIE, I didn't have the pleasure of meeting so many of them. And so one of the things I think is to get more of a broad group of successful entrepreneurs involved, A. B is that continue to build our international focus because I think that is so unique that we have. And number three is get the word out because I do think it's one of the best kept secrets in town. And Raj and I feel very strongly about we need to change that. And we want it to get so everybody speaks about Thai and the reason you need to be involved in Thai?
And the reason it's been that way was it started out focusing on the Indian community. But, you know, 20 years later, and when every tier one venture capital firm in the Valley has got an Indian partner, and you got 40% of the startups have an Indian co-founder, mm-hmm. I think you kind of like here to say, okay, this model works, but how do we expand out and help our local communities, especially, you know, in 08, 09, when we saw the devastation our economies took. It was clearly, you know, it's being debated, but it clearly pushed the needle over to say, okay, it's time to take the model that works. Because at the end of the day, our communities only will be successful mm-hmm. if you have great entrepreneurs who make a difference. Governments don't make a difference. Entrepreneurs do. And I stick with that. So.
And I second that so completely, because this is a great opportunity for successful entrepreneurs. You're right. You can pull your checkbook out. You can give to so many charities. But this is a organization that asks you to not only put your money there, but also to get involved with your mind, your hands, et cetera. And I think that's why we have such successes with so many of these companies, is because people are so engaged.
Yeah, and the investment is it's a multiplier. This isn't just a black hole of giving. You're giving to other people that are like-minded that want to help other people. So it kind of the effort, I think, is multiplied.
And I think just to reiterate, I'm sure many of you folks know this, but Thai is also unique, and it's only one of the very few, almost all volunteer organizations. So we have two staff people for the entire organization, and everything else is done by volunteers, which I think, again, talks to the commitment of these very successful entrepreneurs. The number of our charter members that have sold businesses has got to be, you know, the vast majority of them are very successful, and yet they're spending time. I've been there on Sundays, on Saturdays, on evenings. People are rolling their sleeves up and saying, let me see how I can help.
Well, you know, this just underscores and validates some of what we experience here in the studio every week. It seems like we've gotten to where we say the bigger they are, the nicer they are. But it seems like some of the most giving, generous people are those who have been successful. It must be incredibly rewarding to reach out and help an entrepreneur, particularly when you find one who is coachable mm-hmm. and you feel like is willing to invest in themselves. So that has to be incredibly rewarding. How did you first get into the fold? Do you remember?
Into the fold. Well, I had been a speaker for a number of years as a female CEO and, you know, raising money or whatever it might be, marketing. And then about 3 years ago, I was a judge for the Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year. And I was very surprised because, you know, there are great companies that are chosen for that program. And yet the vast majority of them, and I mean in excess of 60%, had no formal board. And I was so surprised because, again, every company I've ever run, and I've run four of them, has always had an outside board because I've always had outside money. And yet, when you combine that with the economic situation that Raj talked about, where again in the early 2000s, you just sort of showed up at work and you were successful. In 2007, 2008, that wasn't the case, and we saw many companies where if they just would have been looking a little at 30,000 foot, they might have been able to get through it a little better.
Right.
So what we ended up, and so through that, I started a nonprofit. I'm not a big believer in proliferation of nonprofits. I'm a big believer in you need to figure out how to work together. I'm a much bigger believer in how can you make the program successful. So I was trying to find a home for my nonprofit, and I went to many of the organizations in town that we all know. And I just didn't feel they were complete. And then a friend of mine said, and Raj and I had known each other for years, said, you need to go talk to Thai. And I said, Thai, the Indian group? So I sat down, and I think it was probably one of the quickest decisions I've ever made. And I said, a no-brainer. And it's clearly a great decision we made, that the program's flourished under the Thai mentors. It's been and it's a great part of that life cycle. And again, I'm all about the evangelizing, because I do believe it's one of the best secrets in town.
Now, so that element of Thai didn't exist prior to Karen's involvement, or they had something, and then together you guys were able to make it a little more robust?
Yeah, so, you know, we had, you know, we wouldn't have the fifth pillar if it wasn't for Karen's idea and our concept. that essentially got rolled into Thai, right?
So and they got rolled into the global Thai as well?
Not yet.
That here only in Atlanta?
It's in Atlanta. Because we want to perfect it before we roll it, right?
And that's the beauty of the way Thai works, is this is a laboratory, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's philosophically probably aligns with the startup methodology,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And I think it's, you know, we have a unique need here. In the Valley, I mean, this model is difficult because guess what? You know, there's more money, more people, and no one tries to build a business on their own. So
right. It's
less of a value. So each region is different. But what we are trying to do is perfect and learn and go back and create like an operating guidebook that we can provide. I mean, TYE has taken about 7 years, and now it's rolled out to half the chapters worldwide, right, our high school program. But it took time because the first few years you were trying to figure out how you teach, what's the curriculum, and you learn. So, and it was, you know, it started out in Boston. And now we have it. And people are ready to adopt it and use it because now it's a much more efficient program.
Right, it's more fully baked.
And when you have volunteers, it's very important, right? Because if you got to make it easy. And one of the things that we have done the last couple of years, you asked earlier on what one of our things is, we actually looked at and said we have grown, and we had to build our infrastructure and our processes and our, you know, a lot of these things are behind nuts and bolts things, but it had to be done. So we spent a lot of time in putting that infrastructure for the next phase of growth at Thai. And part of this is like, you know, how do we, if you volunteer, I can tell you what role you want to play. The board can tell you and members can tell you how many hours you got to commit, right? That's so we can manage expectations. And second, when we roll out something, we don't want it to be rolled out where you're fighting fires. We want to make the enjoyment of giving back to be such an enjoyable experience that
you want to do more of it.
More of it, right? So the best way to do that is to make sure that you think through this and prioritize it better. And, you know, I have to use the Apple analogy, right? It's like the iPhone. You got to make it as easy for people to use.
Got to have a good user interface.
Exactly. Easy to give back, right? So
regardless of what phase I'm in, what stage in life I'm in, if I just go to a meeting, engage one of you in a conversation, you can tell me exactly where to plug in and get the most out of my involvement with Thai, right?
Absolutely. But even better than that, you don't even have to talk to Raj and I, because there's probably 100 charter members that'd be happy to tell you. There's a number
fantastic.
Of volunteers. So hopefully one of the things we're trying to do is at this, and the visions is so important for that, our meeting on Wednesday night. So I encourage you to join us. You'll hear a little bit more about that as we talk about each of the pillars and specifically what the tactics are for each, what the objectives are for each of those pillars. So truly, at any stage, whether you're a high school student or a, you know, 94-year-old grandmother that is thinking about starting a business, we've got a great way to either help you get started. If you're in the business, help you grow. If you're sold the business and you want to figure out how to give back, we've got a great way to do that as well. So truly, any stage, we'd love to work with you and get you started.
And that's right, because it's not just even any stage. You don't even have to be at a stage. You could be even thinking about a stage. Like, you could be
Absolutely.
The corporate guy that's worked 20 years in a manufacturing that has this idea that's been rattling around in his head, right? And then say, you know what? I don't know if this is something or not. They can come to a tie and get some direction, right?
I think two things. Number one, they can absolutely, through a process we use called ideation, they can absolutely think about that. But in addition, we can help them be a better corporate entrepreneur, because I think so many of the ideas that we talk about and so many of the skills that we teach are ones that can help a corporate person be their virtual entrepreneur, if you will. And I think that's what companies are looking for today. Companies are looking for folks that take the initiative, that solve problems, and I think that Thai is helping people do that no matter what stage of their career, how old they are, or whether in corporate America or in entrepreneurial.
So there's a way for corporations to engage with Thai to kind of help bubble up those entrepreneurs?
Absolutely. Do you want to talk about that, Raj, for a moment?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, this goes back to our pillars, right? One of the jokes that we give them in the community is like, everyone looks for investment. We said we help you find customers.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the matchmaking is we do two things. One, we actually, when you have a corporate entrepreneur in a part of our E2E program, one, we expose them to companies and startups that could be good fits for them. Second, to develop the entrepreneur and themselves.
We right, because a big company may not even think like, well, we're a big company. Mm-hmm. We're not entrepreneurial. Like we're, you know, we have this bureaucracy, you know. How do you find that kind of champion inside of this big corporation that thinks, you know, I'm going to tap into there's thousands or if not tens of thousands of entrepreneurs here hungry for that enterprise to help them get their idea going, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So several of our charter members are successful execs within corporations, large corporations, and they're already entrepreneurial minded. And part of the reason they're part of Thai is they want to keep that entrepreneurial edge to help them succeed in their business, right? So one of the programs we did, we have signed up is partnerships that we announced. We did a program with SAP, and we got people about their new technologies and how they can build businesses around that, and opened up to all our entrepreneurs. And they had a technical training, which usually costs about $3,000 to attend, available for free for their employees if they wanted to spend a day doing that. We did that earlier, and we're going to do it again later on this year. Or next year. This year is done.
That's right. Next year.
Next year.
Got to let it go, Raj.
Yeah.
Time's up.
I'm trying. It's just like force of habit. But, you know, that's why I need the like the week off to say, okay, you know, December, turn the clock off.
This is Karen's problem now.
Exactly. Not my problem. Yeah, Karen.
But didn't we touched on this conversation with Ashish Thakur a little bit about finding a way maybe for Business Radio X to support this entrepreneur effort and maybe create a platform to have those conversations with entrepreneurs. Yeah. I think that could make for some good segments.
Absolutely.
Great
idea. And so we have an agreement with Travelport. Travelport has got a developers network, people who want to build applications using Travelport's data, right? So Thai is a premier partner, and we got all our entrepreneurs. We already have four companies, I believe, are in the pipeline. I think one or two may be already been publicly announced in a press release. So we got programs like that that we're putting together. So we're working with, Mannheim and Cox Group.
Right.
We are working with Equifax. We're working with Home Depot. And our goal is to have pretty much most of the major corporations in Atlanta to be engaged in some capacity over the next.
So Thai is reaching out to these very large organizations and explaining the benefit for them. So you're doing the hard part of building the relationships, right?
Absolutely. It's and a win-win for everyone.
Right, but the entrepreneur then, by being a member of Thai, can then tap into the Thai network and then kind of get fast-forwarded to the decision.
Hey, Raj, I think we need to sign these guys up as part of our advocates. They are.
They are.
You know, start giving a commission for every member they bring on board. I love it.
And goodwill, right? So,
goodwill, yes.
So part of this, I think, when we joke about Thais, we say, you know, if Thai gives you mentors, capital, and customers, right? And some of our charter members, companies themselves are fairly successful. And, you know, the opportunities abound, right? But if we can do that, I think we create a very strong ecosystem. And it also, what we call is we take out the efficiency. Like, you know, part of this, when we all started Thai 15 years ago, we made every mistake in the book. We had to use Yellow Pages. No one remembers that, right? You know, pick up, you know, find everyone. I mean, it was a very difficult time to do business. And all of us were, you know, I came to Atlanta, I knew three people. I mean, there are similar stories like that where you learn, make your mistakes, you learn, and you get up. What we have tried to do, and I would say, you know, is take out all those inefficiencies, right? You want to find a good mentor, or you want a good advice on how to hire the right employee or work with the right attorney or work the right accountant. You know, it's a call away. Or you come to a networking meeting, and you can probably get the introductions and the right people. And you want to hire employees, or, you know, what are some of the things you want to look for? How do you go acquire customers? You want to help with marketing. Every facet of your business, there's someone you can reach out and get that information in a few minutes or a few, you know, less than an hour versus struggling and making it, right?
Right. And not only that, forget the work part of doing that legwork. Is making all the mistakes of picking the wrong person and wasting time and energy going up the wrong paths where you can just fast forward and, you, like you said, you eliminate the learning curve because you've already paid the price. I mean, the charter members have already kind of made the mistake so that the new entrepreneur doesn't have to.
Absolutely. I always quote this. It's always cheaper to learn from other people's mistakes.
But you got to be open to it.
Absolutely.
A lot of entrepreneurs are heads down. They think they're working on their product, and that's what they have to be. So by being part of the Thai ecosystem, it can fast forward their growth just dramatically.
Absolutely.
I think that's the other thing that's unique about Thai is that for so many folks, they are heads down, and they're really not networking. So many of our members, you're not seeing them at all the other typical business meetings in town because they are working hard on their business. And I think that Thai is truly the one stop shop because not only is it the all life cycle, but again, you meet both the corporations as well as the early stage entrepreneurs, mid stage entrepreneurs. So it's a great opportunity for you to say, boy, you know, almost come in and come out of the organization or come to meetings as you need. You don't have to be at every one to get the value. You come to the ones that are early stage entrepreneurs. You can go to the ones for how do you get hooked into corporations and how do you learn how to develop new ideas? How do you think about better efficiencies within your business? So I think it's our menu of items, if you will, and our menu of programs really is very conducive to the entrepreneur who's got their head down working 24/7.
All right. Now, the next event is the Thai Visions, Wednesday, December 4th at 103 West. That's the next big event, right? You can go to the website. What's the website URL?
www.thai-atlanta.org.
And then if you were to give, before we leave for today, what would be your top tips for the entrepreneur? Obviously, join Thai would be number one, but what would be a couple other ones?
Karen, you want to go?
Well, one of the things that I speak.
I guess you just join a board, right? Put together a board.
Board, I think, is very important. Put together a board and put together the right board. And I think, again, it's not just a quick word of advice. It's not your accountant. It's not your lawyer. It's not your brother-in-law.
No vendors, no relatives.
You're exactly correct. Two roles. I think the second thing I would focus on is don't be afraid to fail because I think that, as Raj and I have both been very open about, and I think you'll find that in the Thai community is people are very open about their failures. And I think that you can only get to be that, you know, and talk about Steve Jobs and, again, the failures he had early on. I think that embracing failure is a very good attribute. And I think those are how so many great companies are formed. And I think lastly is be passionate about what you do. You're spending a lot of time there. And, again, I think that I've been a CEO now in industries as varying from battery charging to advertising. And yet, I don't think it so much matters exactly the industry, but more being passionate about what you're doing and about the people you're working with.
All right. And once again, Thai Atlanta website. You got to say it. This is
www.thai-atlanta.org.
All right. Well, thank you both for being part of this, and we really do cherish our relationship with Thai, and that to get to visit with you guys a couple times each month is the high point of our month.
It most certainly is. It's an absolute delight to hang out with you guys and your charter members, but I think you cheated Raj out of his tip.
Oh.
You want to give your tip too? I know his tip was talking to Karen. I was trying to help him cut the umbilical cord. But go ahead, Raj. Go ahead.
You're doing great. Yeah, trust me. I'm like, you know, it'll be cut. I'm already working there. You know, Karen's been actually, de facto running the organization for the last couple of months. And, we do that. That's part of our transition plan. We actually have a very detailed plan. But anyway, going back, quick tip to entrepreneurs. My take is, the first tip is be humble. You never know everything, right? So have that because that's the only way you can learn and be open to things. Second, focus on, the people you're working with. It's important because you'll spend more time with them than with your families. So getting your team and your chemistry right is very, very important. And third, obviously, get good mentors, right, which will help you with the second and
the first two, right?
And I think Thai can help with that, www.thaiatlanta.org.
That's right.
Thank you.
Thanks,
gentlemen. We really appreciate it.
All right. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.
Thanks.